Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
And good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Did you have me up? Was I up there? Okay, yeah. All right, you're just saying, is it because of what happened with the Phillies this week, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Right. I didn't know if it was you because my headset over here is acting up a little bit. But hey, we are Bud Light Baseball Brunch powered by Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or just download that iHeartRadio app. I've been saying it all season long, and you can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear worldwide. We are back in Bala Cynwyd with our good friend John Jansen here in studio as we lead you into Phillies Mets this afternoon at 1:10 p.m., and I am... from Green Legion Radio. I am Chris Sack, alongside my co-host, who is feeling just as miffed as I am, Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph?
What's up? Let me apologize for the voice right now, because it's a little rough here on a Sunday morning. I'm dealing with some allergies and stuff, but I think it's also just this weekend. You know, if you're a Phillies fan, this weekend beat you up. This week beat you up, I was about to say,
Murph, let's not forget the rest of it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't mean to ruin your riff there, but good morning. Is it a good morning right now if you're a Phillies fan? It's pretty bleak.
It's been
right now.
Absolutely pathetic week from the Philadelphia Phillies, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better here coming up, but we're going to touch base with all of those topics here coming up right here on the program. And I'd like to introduce a new sponsor of the program, and so you deserve to get good service and great rates at State Farm. We get it, and we're here to help, because with every State Farm policy you get good neighbor service and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Bavuso about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. And I'd like to thank Dave for jumping on as a sponsor with us. Dave is a good friend of mine. And right now he's a good friend of ours here on Baseball Brunch as well.
Welcome aboard.
Yes, absolutely. And our first segment is brought to you by MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off of your order, regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. I actually just signed off on a quote with MCS. They're going to be doing some work at my house here coming up, Murph. Looking forward to that work being done as well. And friendly reminder here for all of you out there, make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com. The next Bud Light Baseball Brunch tailgate is in a few weeks on July 18th before the Phillies-Marlins game. Make sure you guys go there and purchase your tickets. $60, all you can eat, all you can drink from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. right before game time. Come on down and hang out with us. We're going to be doing our show live right there at 1100 Social from 11 to noon, so you guys get to hang out, get pictures with Murph, and talk some baseball before and after the show. Well, not after the show. Murph has to go over, and he's got other responsibilities and whatnot. But hey, while you're at greenlegion.com, make sure you guys sign up for a trip. Vegas, Denver, Dallas, a bus trip to Washington, D.C. Go to Detroit, and I don't know why you would, but hey, you're going with the Green Legion, which means you're going to have a great time. Also on the show in the second segment today, get your questions in on the board right now, because I know you guys have questions for Murph and myself in regards to this team. You guys need some therapy just as much as we do. So go to the board right now at our YouTube channel. Go to our Facebook Live, our Twitter Live. Get your questions in right now for the second segment. And why the hell are you still watching this team just like we are? I have no idea, but we're going to get to the bottom of that. Yeah. Murph!
Now. Let's not go that far. Hey, you know, folks might have questions, but I'm not sure if we're going to have any answers for them.
Yeah, we're going to try our best.
Like, that's kind of where we are with this team. You know, you watched this weekend, and I'm going to concentrate on this weekend and this weekend series with the Mets.
Because it's what matters the most.
It did matter the most.
Yeah.
And here you sit having a lead in each one of those games, blowing the lead in each one of those games. Lucky to escape with the one win at this point.
And, very lucky.
You know, it's just, that's exactly what the Phillies could not do this weekend. You know, if they'd got blown out in a game but won the other two, you'd almost feel better about it. But the way they played in these games, you know, the offense was really, you know, very dynamic. But the Mets had some good pitching as well. You got to give them a little bit of credit. But not being able to do the little things. The Mets are doing the little things to win games. That's why they sit atop of the NL East. The Phillies are doing all of the little things to lose games. And that's the difference between these two teams. I'm not sure the talent level's all that different. I'm not sure that anything is all that different, except the Mets are finding ways to win and the Phillies are finding ways to lose.
And you know when those little things are happening, both the things that the Phillies aren't good at and the things that the Mets seem to be good at? It's late in the game.
Yeah.
It's crunch time. It's when it matters most, and that's when the Phillies fall apart, and that's when the Mets rise to the occasion. And that's the reason why they're in first place and we're in fourth place.
Right.
And knocking on the door for almost last place here coming up. But Murph, let's go ahead. Let's give away some tickets. Here, so take it away.
Yeah, well, so we're going to give away some tickets for
Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday,
July 4th.
Two tickets, right?
Yes,
we're giving away two tickets for July 4th. And here's how we're doing it this week. No trivia question this week because you're celebrating your love for superheroes, right? So you tell the folks what it is that you're looking for.
Well, right? I enjoy superheroes, so I want to mix it up now. Like, yeah. I think you know, hey, the trivia is always good. It's always fun, but I think it opens up the forum to everybody else, because all it takes is for one guy to answer a question, and the next thing you know what's the rest of the message board after that?
Call it the Mike Brady effect, right? That's what we're going.
You guys will torture me that with all that. So yeah, the two tickets are for next Sunday's July 4th game against the red hot Fernando Tatis Jr. You guys get to see him live and in person.
How great would that be?
I mean, he's the guy that you want to see in Major League Baseball right now in the San Diego Padres. Game starts at 1:05, so it's not going to affect you guys seeing fireworks next Sunday night for 4th of July as it is. And you can come on down. We're going to be back at 1100 Social next week to do our show, so you can stop by 1100 Social and see us do our show live from 11 to noon. Make sure you guys go to the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or Twitter handle at Green Legion to put in your answer. Okay, so today is actor Tobey Maguire's 45th birthday, who is most famous for his role as Spider-Man in the Spider-Man trilogy. What we want from you guys is to post your favorite superhero and the actor that played that role in a movie. Movies only, television roles won't qualify, because last week people were putting in, like, you know,
right.
we were doing TV
movies
dads. Movies only.
So I can't say Adam West.
You can't say Adam West. All right, so it's got to be movie role. So get to the message board right now and start putting them in, guys. Sam's going to collect them up, and hopefully we'll have an answer for you guys at the beginning of the second segment. Otherwise, I might give you guys an additional 15 minutes like I did last week.
All right, so
now we are out of the box. We're talking about our fighting fills, or lack thereof, fighting fills. Murph, listen, I do this
off.
Yes.
Here it comes.
I do this run sheet every single week.
Yeah.
All right, and most times, more often than not, because, you know, if we're doing shows 1100 Social, I want to get it out early on Saturday to where, you know, Sam can print them out. I don't want to send them too late on a Saturday night. And I always put down as the last bullet point for this segment here, talk about Saturday's game if there's anything worth talking about.
Well, there you have it. There isn't. Let's move on.
Now, see, here's my catch here, Murph. I have all this stuff for us to talk about, you know, the bevy of things, some good. I mean, there was a couple good things that happened this week, you know. Aaron Nola, 10 consecutive strikeouts.
Yeah, that was cool.
Tying Tom Seaver all time. No Philly had ever done it more than 7 times. Nine other pitchers had done it 9 times. You know, striking out 9 times in a row. So to tie Tom Seaver for the major league record is special. That's a great moment there.
Yeah, against the Mets, which was cool too.
Yeah, because right there at Citi Field, and Shea was where it happened for Tom Seaver.
But the best thing that happened after that game was what Aaron Nola had to say about it.
Yeah.
And he said, look, it's cool, but winning's cooler.
Yeah.
And we're not doing enough of that.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality that we need out of this baseball team. And I'm not sure that we have that with 26 guys right now.
And that's what I want to get to here, Murph. And if you mind that I take the podium here for a minute and I get on my soapbox.
Sack attack coming.
Yes. Here we go. I'm so beyond frustrated with this team, and I know it's tough sometimes with baseball because it's such a long season, right? There's 6 months, 162 games, you know, the ebbs and the flows, the ups and the downs, and I try not to live with baseball like a lot of people tend to live with the Eagles, you know?
You're right.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of like blow a gasket after the first month of the season with the Eagles, and they're 1-3, right? And then they blow a big game on a Sunday Night Football, and that's how it goes. But with the Phillies, it's like, you know, we've been putting up with this for so long. It's been a decade now since the last time that this team has made the playoffs. And I don't know if in this clubhouse with this team, and Murph, you've covered this team, you've been around these guys, you know them better than I do, you know, but I don't know if the winning mentality is with anybody that's on this team. I mean, you have guys that have come up through our system and have not won. Mm-hmm. You have guys that have been on the major league, you know, the major league roster and the major league team and have not won. You bring in guys from other franchises. Now, Bryce came from the Nationals and they won divisions, but they never won a playoff series when he was there. And then he leaves and then they win the World Series after he leaves, the very year after he leaves. JT Realmuto comes from the Marlins, a losing franchise. McCutcheon comes from, you know, pretty much bulk of his career was the Pirates, a losing franchise. They went to a couple playoffs when he was there, but nonetheless, a losing franchise. The mentality in this club needs to change, because every single year we come into a season and I gotta sit here and listen to a Rhys Hoskins or a Bryce Harper. It's time to make the playoffs. And then Rhys Hoskins yesterday just pours gasoline on my fire. Hey guys, listen, you know, let's not really just focus on the end of the game and let's focus on the other good things. Hopefully you guys write about the other things that happened in this game that were good. Why are we writing about good things that happened in that game when you blew it at the end, Rhys? We're not sitting here. There's no participation trophies. This team is pathetic. It's structured incorrectly. They're not good at anything individually. Yes, we have a couple good starting pitchers. You have Nola, you have Wheeler, Eflin when he wants to bring it, and he pitched well yesterday. You have a couple guys in the bullpen that might give you something good here or there. They're not good at running the bases. They're terrible defensively. The bench is weak. When Girardi has to take Harper out of the lineup, you got to put Travis Jankowski in right field. When Gene Segura is not playing, you got to put, you know, Brad Miller at second base. Like I was telling this to Jansen before the show when you were getting ready for your picks, because we all know you need to rebound, you know, to catch up to me. But it's like Girardi has a chess table and he's missing pieces already on his board. He can't properly play chess when you have pieces that are missing on the board. And I'm not trying to take him off the table here, Murph, just real quick, because what he did the other day with taking Sam Coonrod out of the game and putting David Hale in with the bases loaded was inexcusable, unacceptable. Like, you can't do that. And then the next thing you know, like, you put him in that situation where you have to win that game, and then a couple days later, we're DFAing him because he sucks. He's a terrible baseball player, but we put him in that high leverage situation. Like, Murph, I'm just beside myself today.
I can see that.
I'm beside myself, and I think this is like my first true blue sack attack on this show. I try to stay as professional as possible because, you know, eventually I think next season Murph is probably going to go back to the broadcast booth, the TV booth, and then Murph is going to have me take over his pre and post game duties for him. Is that off the table now after my blow-up?
No, not at all. Okay, look, all right. Everything that you've just touched on.
Take me with you, man.
Yeah, you know, these are all valid. They're all valid points. I think, let me back up, because you started off
I put
talking,
a lot out there. Yeah, I put a lot on the table for you, Murph.
You started talking about how the ebb and flow of the baseball season, and that is important to remember, because you can't react the way you can react after an Eagles loss. Those games are, you know, magnified because of the shortened season. 162 games is 162 games, and the best teams are going to lose 60 of them. That's just the way it works. So you're going to lose games. I think what is so frustrating right now, and I think this is kind of what you're saying, and is that the way this team is losing games is unacceptable. It's okay to lose baseball games.
You're going to lose.
But the way they consistently are losing these games, and that's with very poor defense, and that's been a theme all season long, with questionable arms out of the bullpen, sometimes good, sometimes bad, that's been going on all season long. An offense that we thought was going to score runs is not been very inconsistent. That's been going on all season long. And then some decisions made by the managers and the coaching staff that leave you scratching your head a little bit.
Front office as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the front office, Dave Dombrowski getting here so late, I mean, right, there was only so much he could do, and I actually thought what he did was pretty darn good coming into the season.
Right.
It hasn't all worked out. We've seen that.
I agree.
But, you know, so you look at it like that, and you have a right to be frustrated. What I want to see is I want to see these players a little bit more frustrated. I agree with you. Look, Reese is a stand-up guy, has been since the day he got here. But when you make an error like he did last night or yesterday in yesterday's game, and quite frankly,
yeah, let's look at the first game on Friday,
times,
too.
Yeah, a couple of times in this series.
I mean, it was a bad throw by Alvarado, yeah, but
now there are guys that won't even come to the podium after that. Reese is not that way. Reese will stand up, look you in the eye, and tell you that he made a mistake. And I appreciate that. However, you got to stop there because what you don't want to hear from a player after a game like that, as a fan, as a member of the media, is you don't want to say, but hey, you know, we did a lot of good things. That's really not the point. You know, we can see that there were some good things there. We could see there were some good things this weekend. But what we're talking about is this consistent lack of defense late in games. That's the topic. That's what people will talk about, will write about, need to talk about. And that's what the team needs to be figuring out as well. So that was frustrating, too. You know, I don't know if they can turn it around. Defense is a tough thing to fix.
Right. I agree.
You know, these guys kind of are who they are. There's some tweaks that could be made, and you know, hopefully when guys get a little bit healthier, we're not seeing those substitutions that you mentioned late in games that kind of leave you like, wow, this is what we're left with kind
of thing. Anything with Harper?
Yeah. In terms of the injury?
Yeah.
No, and I haven't seen the lineup yet today, but I would be surprised if he's in there. Based on what Joe said after the game yesterday, he kind of left the door open that he probably would not play today, but we'll see. You know, that's a pretty painful place to get hit, and he took it square on the calf.
Yeah, there's not a lot of protection there.
Yeah, but so I guess to my point is that your frustration is warranted. I think the only thing that we have to remember is you have to take a little bit of a step back and take a look around at least the National League East. You're playing the best team in the best team, and I'm using quotes right now because the Mets are the best team in the division.
Best by default.
Right. I mean,
someone has to be in first.
Do the Mets scare you? Other than when Jacob DeGrom is on the hill, is there not a game that you think your team can win? And I'm talking about the Phillies, the Nationals, the Braves, even the Marlins. You can beat the Mets. They're not that special. And the Nats certainly aren't that special, although playing well right now. But as soon as Schwarber, you know, cools down, they're going to lose a couple of those games. The Braves, you know, so banged up, mediocre.
Soroka's out for the year.
Yeah. So for all those reasons, it's like, you know, gosh, guys, if you could just tighten the ship, you know, just tighten it up a little bit. I said ship there.
He said ship.
I said ship.
Yeah, I saw Jansen's head.
Yeah, I really did. If you could just tighten that up a little bit, you know, then you start winning some of these games that you've lost. They've blown 20 saves so far this season. 20 saves. And we're not even at July 1st yet.
Yeah.
Where are we? Yeah, no, we're not.
Well, July 1st is on Thursday.
Yeah, so
close enough.
That's crazy when you stop to think about it. The numbers that we had in last year's bullpen, all those, you know, one-run losses and all those blown saves last year, and you think to yourself, you're only six games out. You've blown 20 saves, win half of those, and you're in the mix. So, look, your frustration is well-placed, and a win today would go a long way to making folks feel a little bit better. But yeah, they've been tough to watch. They really have.
I don't even know if it's a win today, though, Murph. I mean, they need to go on a run here.
They
like,
do.
Like, this team just fails to realize a sense of urgency. Like, hey, we have to put this together. Like, okay, I think we've had a couple weeks where we've gone 4-1. You know, I know at the beginning of the year they started 5-0. But they do this every single year. It's like, you know, this team hasn't won more than, like, what, six games? I think I talked about it a couple months ago. I don't think this team's won more than six games since 2012.
Yeah, they went on that 9 out of 10 last year after, you know, Bryce, that was last year, right, in 2020, where Bryce said, we got to win, you know, we got to win 10 games in a row. They won 9 out of 10, and, you know, he tried that earlier this week in hopes that maybe he could get the guys, you know, rallied again, and it obviously has not worked at this point. But if any team in this division wins 9 out of 10, then they're going to take control of this division. That's what it's going to take. Someone's going to do it.
Someone's got to get hot.
Yeah, but you got to hope it's the Phils, but I'm not so sure. Yeah.
So how much of a sense of urgency is it, not just for this season, but for some of these players to remain on this team? Like, when do we start having, I guess, is it fair that we maybe start having those conversations that starts to creep in our head?
Well, why don't we handle that? We'll take that question when we come back right on the other side here. Speaking of David Hill being DFA'd, I'm sure he had to drive a car out of town. So he probably went to Cherry Hill Triplex, which is the premier New Jersey Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram dealer serving South Jersey and all the Delaware Valley. They have a huge selection of new and used vehicles from which to choose. Cherry Hill Triplex, online and offline customers enjoy vehicle specials every day. We offer Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram service and parts, an online inventory, and outstanding financing options, making Cherry Hill Triplex the preferred dealer serving the entire Delaware Valley. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram buyers, get ready and set up a test drive. Visit us in Cherry Hill, New Jersey today. Coming up in the second segment, we have Ask the Show, Life Advice with Murph, and we all need to just sit down on a couch and just express our feelings to somebody, and Murph and myself, we're here for you right after this.
Next question.
While you keep your beverage in the ready position, I love that, NECK Next Sip, time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Visit NextSip.com and follow them at NextSip. Customize it any way you want. Perfect for sporting events, Philly born and USA made. Only $5 each, 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit NextSip.com and follow them at NextSip.
All right. Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on Sunday morning. Happy to have you all here. Please continue to go to our social media accounts and get your questions in. I'm also going to extend this here. I was just going over with Sam during the break. Guys, it's superhero. Okay. Han Solo is not a superhero.
Well,
okay. No. He's not a superhero. This is not hard, people. This is not hard. Superhero from a movie. Let's tend to. I'll announce a winner at the beginning of our last segment. So you guys got 15 more minutes again this week.
All right.
And Mike Brady is not a superhero as well.
Well, in a lot of our lives, he was. Let's be honest.
God. All right. So I'm going to continue to monitor our social media accounts here. I'm going to take a look and see what questions pop up and everything. But Jansen had a really good question there as we were going the break. And we just didn't have enough time to address it. So, Jansen, why don't you go ahead and pitch that question to Murph and myself, and let's talk about it.
Yeah, so you guys were talking about sense of urgency for this season, and I think that extends maybe a little bit further. Does there need to be sense of urgency, not just for now, but for the future and for some of these guys? Because I think the Phillies have gotten their fair shot with this lineup and this team for a couple of years now. Is it maybe time to start looking ahead a little bit more?
I agree with you. The problem is where, what pieces do you move? I know we talked about it before the show even went on air today. Like the pieces that you possibly can move, a Reese Hoskins, a Gene Segura, but Gene's got to be healthy if you're going to move Gene Segura. So I like Reese Hoskins. I'd like to think that after this season, when they discuss a new collective bargaining agreement, that you would have Reese Hoskins still around to be your designated hitter, mm-hmm. and take him off the field. I know, Murph, you were saying that you would rather have Alec Bohm pull him off the field and him be the designated hitter. But eventually, at some point in the 13-year contract, the life of the contract for Bryce Harper, he's going to have to be a designated hitter.
Yes,
so you can't really define roles with these guys. A lot of these teams in Major League Baseball, like a J.D. Martinez, they can find a spot for him to play in the field. They don't do it often. They don't do it a lot. But at least he could be serviceable in a certain spot when they've been in National League ballpark. But the only piece of value on this team, Murph, that's not a big money guy, a big contract guy, a guy that you would get the most value back for, but you're waving the white flag if you do it, is Aaron Nola. That's the only way you're going to replenish this farm system. You're not going to do it with anybody else.
Well, yeah, I would agree that there's not a whole lot of pieces that you can move that are going to bring back a haul at this point. The Phils are going to have to do this, they're going to have to craft a way to build up that farm system, improve the Major League roster, and not give away all their talent in doing it. So it's a difficult challenge for Dave Dombrowski. I think maybe the way to look at Jansen's question is to say, all right, is there anybody on this team you wouldn't move under any circumstance? You're probably not able to move Bryce at this point, but I wouldn't move him anyway. I mean, you're building around
Bryce.
Yeah, well, you're building, and he's also, when he's at his best, he is a top 15 player in the league.
I agree. Yeah.
And he's not always at his best, and he hasn't been. I think he is dealing with a couple of, you know, nagging injuries, but, you know, when he's at his best, he can help carry a team. JT, you're not going to move at this point either.
And that's a good contract right there.
Yeah,
5 years.
It is.
First year of a 5 year deal. That's a good contract for a catcher.
And then I would say Zach Wheeler. And I think you don't trade away quality starting pitching. And Aaron Nola is quality starting pitching. And to your point, it's a pretty friendly deal for the Phillies under the, you know, with the numbers. So after that, I'm not sure there's anybody that I wouldn't consider making a move with if it's going to bring back someone that's going to make this team better. I do not think the Phillies are ready to wave the white flag for this season. You know, I know ownership, they want to win. And I think if Dave Dombrowski can figure out a move that he can go to ownership and say, look, I think this is going to help us be a better team in July, August, and September of this year, I think that they still would do that at this point. You know, the time has come to win. Now, they're certainly not set up to win right now, but the time has come to win. So I think Dombrowski is going to be tasked to trying to figure out a way that they can win more baseball games in the second half than they've won in the first half. So.
Right. Now, I want to go over a couple things here real quick, but I know, Jansen, when we came back into the segment here, we were going to try and lay down on the couch and kick our feet up. And I think it's time for us to, you know, I think we got a little hot and, you know, in that first segment and everything, but Jansen, please.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish.
Have mercy.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Frazier Crane.
Are you listening?
We're live on the air right now.
I'm listening. That's what he always says. You know, first of all, great television theme song, for sure. I have no idea what it means. Like,
me neither.
Why is he talking about scrambled eggs? He's a psychiatrist.
It's a fantastic spinoff, too.
Yeah, oh, tremendous.
Yes.
And that's a topic for another day, another time. But you talk about, you know, spinning off a TV show and having a successful second run. Man, oh man, Frasier was not as good, but almost as good as Cheers, the original. So
you have no idea how hard it was yesterday, because, like, you know, this is before yesterday's debacle, and I'm trying to I'm like, you know what, like, maybe we need to have like a lounge, you know, like, session here where everybody can kind of sit back, relax, express themselves, you know, to Murph and myself. And I'm like, ah, you know, like, maybe there's a good theme song for a psychiatrist show. And I'm like, ah, I know Frasier and you know, Dr. Katz sucks. that theme song was terrible, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm trying to find other things to get other people to relax.
The Newhart Show, do you remember that?
No.
That's before your time. Bob Newhart, he was a psychiatrist. He'd have folks come on in, and he'd talk them through their issues.
Well, we're going to try and talk everybody through the issues today as well, Murph. A couple other things that stood out to me about this week. I want your opinion on it. The Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi tiff that we had on Tuesday night. I think Girardi, what he did was well within the rules and the concepts that are being put out there to managers. And, you know, he saw something there. And I like to think too, man, like, he's got Bryce Harper on his team. And Bryce played with Scherzer for years in Washington. So Bryce might have known that, you know, he was a substance-using type guy. Maybe not spider tack, maybe not something overly egregious, but maybe he tipped Girardi to something. Hey, you know, like, this could be something, you know, going on here. What's your thought on this, this thing the other day? I think it got blown out of proportion. I think Joe Girardi got roasted completely in the wrong way. If anybody that should have got tortured, it should have been Scherzer.
I agree with you. I thought what Girardi did was certainly well within the rights of the rules, and I also thought there was a little bit of gamesmanship there, which I am 100% for. And obviously it you know, it touched a nerve with Max Scherzer based on his reaction. I mean, you talk about, you know, there's that old Shakespeare line, the lady doth protest too much, when someone starts arguing to the point where you're like, all right, calm down there, brother, maybe you do have something to hide. Look, what he was doing was odd with his hair. Now, his explanation was reasonable. perhaps that's exactly what he was doing. But you know what? You look around the league. Most players are kind of like just accepting the fact that this is what's going to happen, and that's good enough for them. Scherzer was, I mean, his meltdown was just, it was kind of silly, I thought. And I like what Joe Girardi did. And you know what? Guess what? The next time Scherzer pitches against the Phillies, I'll do it again.
Right.
Because it did affect him.
Yeah. 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 The funny thing was, is he almost dropped Trout right there in the middle of the field.
And again, it's like, come on, man. This is the rules. This is what baseball is playing under right now. Why? Because your compatriots took this to a level that has just simply changed the game of baseball, and baseball's trying to get it back. Look, Rob Manfred has made a ton of mistakes as commissioner.
Actually,
of baseball.
I think he is the mistake.
Well, fine. But trying to get this problem and get it fixed, to me, is necessary. We've already seen a little bit of a jump in offense since they started cracking down. No one wants to go out and see middle relievers, you know, striking out the side. They want action. They want offense. So they're trying to do what they have to do. I thought the way Scherzer reacted was borderline ridiculous. And, you know, it just makes you wonder what it is he's trying to hide. That's the way I read it. So.
Okay, and then let's talk a little bit about Wednesday's game as well, because I think our main focus today has been about the series against the Mets, and as it should. Now you look at Wednesday's game, Murph, and you know, it's another cool part of history here. The Phillies and the Nationals played in the first Major League Baseball game where both teams had a grand slam and a three-run home run hit. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. And I honestly appreciated the fight that the Phillies had played with that day. You know, they were up 5-0, then it was tied 5-5, then McCutchen hits a grand slam that put them up 9-5, and then, you know, then they're down, you know, after that whole David Hale incident, they're down 12-9, and then, what was it, 12? No, 11-9, and then they come back and they scrap for a few more runs, and then they're up 12-11, and then Neris blows a game. You know, that's the type of team, like, I think we addressed this about a month ago, Murph. Like, I can live with this team not being a great baseball team. I could live with them being I don't want to say a middling team. Like, if they're like an 85, 86 win team, but they show fight. They show grit. They show effort. Like, I think that's the reason why, like, back in the, you know, in the earlier part of this century when the Phillies were going on their run, but that team was lovable before they hit their stride. Even before 2007 when they won a division, and they came all the way back. Like, you saw guys in that clubhouse and in that dugout and on the field that were playing with grit and toughness and determination, and there was never a game where you felt like they were out of it. And that type of fight is what I appreciated out of the Phillies on Wednesday. Now, honestly, that appreciation has gone down over the last couple days with all the events that have occurred. Even in the game that they won on Friday night, they still had a chance to blow that, even though they blew it, and then they still had a chance to blow it later. But I just wish this team had a little bit more fight in them, to where I think they would be up in that level right there. They could be in first place right now, tied with the Mets. They could be ahead of the Nationals and ahead of the Braves, but they just don't do it consistently enough for me, Murph.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that at this point is pretty obvious. I don't know if it's fight as much as it's
ability,
well, or execution, you know,
talent.
I mean, certainly, Rhys Hoskins has the talent and the ability to catch that ground ball. Did he lack focus at that very, that second, you know, for whatever reason? Is he getting in his own head, you know, trying to be too perfect? I don't know the answer to that. Only Rhys does, but he has the ability to catch that ball. He just didn't. And errors in baseball are going to happen. Physical errors are going to happen. You have to live with them. They're just happening way too frequently on this team. That's the problem. You can live with a week where you have two or three errors in the week. These guys are committing two or three errors in a game, and it's really hard to win baseball games that way, especially when you don't have a prolific offense or a 1-5 rotation that's just lights out, or a closer that is, you know, at 90% closure rate. You know, the Phillies don't have any of that, and so you have to win games by doing the little things the right way. I think that I think the fight is there. Like, I mean, even in their losses over this weekend, you know, they battle back, they tie it up, they give it up, they come back, but look, you got to close it out. It's bottom line. It's about winning, and nothing else is good enough. You have to win those games, and they're just not doing it right now.
Friend of the program, Russ Taylor, is saying, why don't the Phillies have that junkyard dog player that can just rip other players and call them on their mental errors? Does no one have that fire in the locker room? I know you've already kind of addressed this, Murph. It's just not how a player this day and age handles business. I mean, it's kind of like
league wide,
right? And I look at it, Murph. It's kind of like in my line of business, where I work, full time. Like, you have to pick and choose your spots. You can't sit there and always. You can't be hard on people all the same, all the time. Eventually, they're going to tune you out. You have to try and pick your spots and when you're going to do it. I think what we're all expecting here is we're at least waiting for one person to just say enough. Is enough. Sit up there in front of the media on the Zoom and say, this has to stop. And we all have to collectively hold each other responsible for this.
Yeah. And I think that what you just said, that conversation, I think has happened at some level in that clubhouse. It has happened on the post game Zoom calls to an extent. You know, guys are saying, we got to be better. We all need to do a little bit better. They're saying all of those things. What fans, I think, and people who have watched this game for a long time, and just sports fans in general, want is that one guy, that Darren Dalton type, that Pat Burrell type.
Chase Utley type.
Well, that's, no, Chase.
Behind the scenes.
I don't even
Rollins think, was the vocal guy.
Pat Burrell was the leader in that clubhouse. Pat Burrell was the one that was going to hold people accountable in that clubhouse. That's the guy that you wish you had. You wish you had a guy like that. You wish you had the Darren Dalton type. But those guys, they don't really, I'm not going to say they don't exist at all, because I'm sure there's a couple guys out there that are like that on other teams, but there's not a whole lot of them left in professional sports, and certainly not a whole lot left in baseball. Now it's guys like on this particular team. I look at a guy like Andrew McCutchen and think to myself, he's a guy that could close the door, gather everyone around and say, look, fellas, if we're going to do this, this is what we got to do. And people would listen and people would respect him. And I think it would have an effect. Now, whether Andrew's done that or not, I have no idea, because we're not there. Those things happen away from all eyeballs. That is a team thing. If Andrew or whomever else in that clubhouse doesn't do that, then it falls squarely on Joe Girardi. He has to do that. And Joe's not going to go in and turn over a table. He's not going to wipe out the lunch spread. That's not who Joe Girardi is. But Joe Girardi could close the door, raise his voice a little bit, and challenge these guys. And again, I don't know if Joe's done that. He may have done that. But that's where you're at in 2021. You need one of your veteran guys that is well-respected, or you need the manager to come in and do that. Is it enough? I don't know. You know, who knows if it was for the 1980 team when Dallas Green turns to, and then Paul Owens comes down and undresses him again. You talk to those guys, that had an effect on them. I'm sure Jim Fregosi had a moment or two. Certainly Dutch got in guys' faces. Winning teams in the past have done that, but I don't know. I just don't know if that's the way it works anymore. Whether that's good or bad. I think it's bad, but it is what it is, and you just have to figure out a different way to get to these guys, to motivate them, to focus them, and to get them, kind of doing what they need to do to win games.
I know we usually look for leadership from players and coaches. How much of this, because of watching the rest of Major League Baseball, there's great leadership at the top in Houston, there's great leadership at the top in Los Angeles, Tampa Bay, all these great teams. This is starting from very high up in the organization, and it trickles its way all the way down. When do we point the finger at maybe the top of the Phillies organization and going, guys, there's something going wrong here?
The hard part to do is the fact that the guys that are running it right now, Dombrowski and Fold, they haven't been here long enough for us to point the finger at them. They walked into a bad situation. They walked into something that was left behind from McPhail and Klentak, who had 5 years to try and right the ship and get things going. But there's nothing. The cupboard is bare in the minor leagues. And they've left some bad, I don't want to say bad contracts, but they haven't left anything at the major league level level that's really desirable, and nothing that you can bring up from the minor league level that's going to help out. The fact of the matter is this team has been declining for 10 years. And normally when a team is declining for 10 years, you have people that you can reach down in the minor leagues and are going to come up and make an immediate impact. This team doesn't have that.
Yeah, you're right. And I agree with you. I don't know that we can, you know, point to Dave Dombrowski at this point and say you haven't done enough. It's too early to have that conversation. Like I said before, what he did do when he got here pretty quickly, I thought, all right, you know, this is going to solidify that bullpen, which was a huge need. You know, he brought in Brad Miller, who, you looked at like a pretty good piece off the bench. And he has been, you know, he's been slumping of late, but you got to give this front office, Sam Fold and Dave, a little bit of time to fix what they perceive to be wrong. But it's always fair to point to the front office at some point and say it starts and ends with you guys, very often. And, you know, I think we could have that conversation a year or two down the road with the current front office, but, hopefully we won't have to. Hopefully they figure out a way to get this, thing, you know, kind of churning in the right direction. And it's that age old question. What comes first, a winning mentality or winning? You know, and it's almost impossible to answer that question.
Right.
Like, you know, the Marlins last year, they're a perfect example. Everyone picked them to come in dead last. And they started winning early and they started feeling confident. And then they saw the finish line, only 60 games. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, we're in the mix and there's only a month left in the season. And then it just kind of builds and builds and builds on itself. And, you know, but they had to win early first before they felt that. And it works the same way, the opposite way. Start losing a lot early and you start to think, maybe this is who we are. That's what's got to change. That idea that we can't win or we're not good enough to win this division. This team's good enough to win this division. This team is good enough to win this division. Is and maybe not any other division, but this one. And that's all you have to do. So that's what they need to be concentrating on. So.
All right. Life is full of surprises, some good, some not so good. That's why your State Farm agent is there with good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates for everyone. Yep, that's right. At State Farm, you get great service and great rates with every policy, so you can be prepared for all life surprises. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. We'll be right back right after this. On the other side is our picks for the week, and Murph needs the rebound, and we'll see if he can right after these messages.
Retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website is even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports.
Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch for our last segment here this Sunday. And as you could tell by our songs today, I was watching Back to the Future and American Pie last night, so that's where I've gotten our song choices. So let's go ahead real fast, and we have three choices right here. Who's going to win the tickets for next Sunday, July 4th game?
This is big.
I have Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man.
All right.
I have Christian Bale, Batman.
Okay.
Christopher Reeves, Superman.
See, whoever put in the Christopher Reeves, and I don't know who did it, but they know, you know, it's know your host. Because Christopher, out of those three, the only one I've seen is Christopher Reeve and Superman. Now, I do know the other two guys, and I do know their body of work, and I've seen, clips of both of those guys. I guess I would lean towards Christopher Reeve. However, I'm going to go with Iron Man because I know my son Matthew is a huge Iron Man guy, and I like Robert Downey Jr., so I'm going to go with Iron Man. That's my vote.
I want to get Jansen involved here, okay? Because I'm a contrarian. So Christian Bale, I'm a Batman guy. So you have to be the tiebreaker again this week, Jansen. At least we're not choosing Christopher Reeves. I'm good either way.
You're making me pick like a great movie franchise and the guy who was heading all of it in Robert Downey Jr. because he was a top guy versus one of my favorite movies of all time in The Dark Knight. But I think because of the significance of Iron Man's role in the MCU and him being and paying off 10 years or whatever it was of building up to the moment where Robert Downey Jr. finally at the end is the one that saves the day and saves everyone.
Oh, so, I didn't see it yet. You've ruined it for
you've
me.
You've had 3 years. No, 2 years.
You picked Iron Man and didn't know that he did this? I would have to say Iron Man because I don't think the MCU does as well as it does without him.
Okay. All right. Listen, I don't have a problem with that tiebreaker this week. I still have a grudge with Mike Brady. But congratulations.
Dude, I love Christian Bale. Like, that is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Congratulations to Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, whoever had the selection. I know Sam will get me your email address and I'll get you the tickets. But we have to get into our picks because I know I wanted to extend it a little bit, but I know Murph has other things to do today. So, our six picks for the week. Now, get ready, Jansen, because Murph went 1-2 last week. And while Sack, hold on. Are you going to play it for? What are you playing?
I could just do it.
I was going to wait for the big moment.
Murph went 1-2 last week, and Sack had another 3-0 week. Third time this season I've gone 3-0 this year.
It's pretty impressive, but I will say this. Looking at the standings, you're still well within reach.
I'm not worried at all. I'm 8-1 in the last 3 weeks, Murph.
Yeah.
Collectively.
Yeah. And so, and what are you, three games in front of me at this point?
Yeah, because you're 17-17 and 1. I'm 20-15.
Right. So you're totally within strike. One week and it turns around and I'm back on board.
It could be this week. So, Murph, give me your first one.
Not only could it be this week, it will be this week. All right. Ooh. So, my first one.
I told you he's getting saucy now with these picks.
No, I'm actually trying to put some time in putting these picks in. All right, I'm going with the Braves and Reds game today. It's not a great pitching matchup. You know, neither of these two teams have all that great of pitching at this point. The Reds, though, their offense is pretty darn impressive and has been. Atlanta is reeling right now. They've got injury news that they got over the weekend. Mike Soroka is going to miss the rest of the year. It's just not a good situation out there. It's at the Great American Ballpark. So I'm taking the Reds over the Braves today. It is -145. Give me Cincinnati.
All right. I'm going to stick with that game, too, as my first pick. I'm going with the over, though. Over 9.5, -114 for the Braves and the Reds. This is a four-game series. They've gone under the number the first three games of the series. 87 degrees at first pitch, and that ball always jumps out of that ballpark. Today is the day they're going over, Murph.
All right. I kind of like that pick. I'll give you a little bit of your props. All right. Next up for me, Astros and Tigers. Astros playing about as good a baseball as you can play right now. They've won 9 of their last 10 games. The Tigers are the Tigers. Odorizzi is on the mound for Houston. So I'm taking the Astros straight up to win it. They are -172. It's not exactly a reach pick, but -172. But you know what? Low-hanging fruit. That's my motto right now.
Needs to be your motto.
Yeah.
You need to make up ground.
I'm taking the Astros over the Tigers.
All right. I'm going to go. I like this number today. Nationals -130 versus the Marlins. Okay. Nationals won on Thursday night, but they've lost the last two games. They have Max Scherzer on the mound today against Sandy Alcantara. 7-3 in their last 10 are the Nationals. They're going to split this series with the Marlins. They're going to win today.
All right. You like it? I do not, but that's fine. Neither here nor there. All right. I've got two that I'm trying to decide between for my final pick, and I am going to go with, I'm going to go with my original thought. Rockies and Brewers over 9. American Family Field out there in Milwaukee.
I wish it was still Miller Park.
Yeah, I know. Amen.
Terrible name.
Terrible indeed. But not a great pitching matchup again. Two guys that ERA's over 5.5. And you know what? Rockies aren't a good baseball team. Brewers are a pretty good baseball team. So I think runs will be scored. I'm going over 9, Rockies and Brewers.
Okay, and then my last pick is Cardinals -148 versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. Max Kranich makes his major league debut for the Pirates today. 26th ranked prospect in the Pirates system. Game is in St. Louis. That's a tough place to have your first Major League Baseball start. So I'm going to ride the St. Louis Cardinals as we ride into Can You Believe It?
Of 1-6-5 and 10 on the Wild Things RBI hit. Can you believe it?
All right. Can you believe it, Murph? We're coming to the end of another show here on this beautiful Sunday, overcast Sunday, but it's going to be beautiful. Heat advisory warning. What's your first can you believe it for this week, Murph?
All right. This one came from a tweet from Jim Passan, and it's just kind of cool. Vlad Guerrero Jr. now has 50 home runs in 258 career games in Major League Baseball. Do you know who else had 50 home runs in their first 258 games?
His father.
His dad, Vlad Guerrero Sr. Come on. That's cool stuff.
Right, I'm going to stick with the dad theme here. Okay. And it's a shame this stuff didn't happen last week because we would have had a great Father's Day theme. Career games played is courtesy of Ryan Spader. Fernando Tatis Sr., 949. Fernando Tatis Jr., 202. Career multi-home run games. Fernando Tatis Sr., 8. Fernando Tatis Jr., 7. Senior had yet to debut when he was junior's current age.
That's pretty cool.
And that's coming off a game where he had 3 the other night.
Man,
fantastic.
Good young talent all over baseball. It's just fun to watch.
And it's a shame it's not here in Philadelphia.
Not yet. All right, here's my second can you believe it? And this is just the feel-good story of the week, I think. Major League Baseball announced yesterday that Trey Mancini was going, actually they didn't announce it, but it leaked today, that Trey Mancini is going to be in the home run
it's
derby.
Awesome.
Yeah, during the All-Star game. We had our conversation about the home run derby last week. I'm not a fan, but guess what? I would watch Trey Mancini just because of the story. For folks that don't know, coming back from battling cancer, missed all of last season, has been terrific this year for the Orioles, and he will be a part of that celebration at the All-Star game. Deservedly so. Very cool story.
All right. I'm going to keep mine quick here. The Chicago Cubs had a combined no-hitter the other day against the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's the 7th no-hitter in baseball this season, the most ever before July 1st, and tied for the most in a season since 1900 when the modern era began.
Yeah.
I know you're not a big fan about the no-hitters. It just seemed to be more commonplace this year. But hey.
They're not special anymore.
They're not special, but that's a pretty cool statistic. They're probably going to wind up breaking that record this year.
No Can doubt. I do a little on this day real quick?
Yeah.
On this day, this is according the Citizens Bank Park at Philly CBP. On this day, Ryan Howard hit a 505-foot home run, setting record for the longest blast at Citizens Bank Park and the fastest player to 100 home runs in Major League Baseball history.
It's awesome. Very cool. Love it. All right, so before we bounce out of here, Murph, today's finale against the New York Mets, we had Zach Wheeler on the mound against Stroman, followed by a quick stop in Cincinnati for a makeup game on Monday, and then 3 at home against the Marlins, followed by 3 against the Padres. This is a tough week, Murph. The Marlins always give us fits. We'd like to think that we get a reprieve before we get the Padres, but Murph, huge week. The Phillies have to bounce back this week after this past week.
Yeah, come home and play well. You got the one against the Mets, as you mentioned, and then one in Cincinnati. Come home, play well. Hopefully you turn the vibe a little bit. You get that good feeling back, back at home, and you're winning more games than you're losing. Look, July, we're here. This season is no longer, just getting started. We're in the part where you can start to separate the men from the boys. And Phillies, if they want to be in that conversation in August and September, it starts right now. It has to. Right now.
Friendly reminder to join us next week at 1100 Social. We'll be back down there. We won't have to stare at Jansen's mug next week, as we'll be at 1100 Social at Xfinity Live. So come on down and join us next week, 11 to 12, down by the ballpark ahead of Phillies, Padres, and Fernando Tatis Jr. is in town. It's going to be awesome. Great time down there. Thanks again for John Jansen for your hospitality here in studio. For Murph and myself, this right here is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Have a great rest of your Sunday.